Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
This is The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick. It's good to be back with you today. Investigators in California are piecing together a motive for Nassim Aghdam's attack at the YouTube headquarters in San Bruno, California on Tuesday. The 39-year-old woman opened fire on employees having lunch outside before killing herself. Employees were stunned by the attack on their workplace campus. Almost as quickly as the gunfire started, employees started tweeting about the chaos. Now barricaded inside of a room with coworkers, read one tweet. Another read, "We hear people running because it was rumbling the floor." And one employee said he had experienced gun violence multiple times in the workplace over his career. According to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, there were 500 workplace homicides in 2016. That's up from 409 just 2 years before. And that same agency estimates that 2 million Americans are victims of some form of workplace violence every year. So how safe do you feel in your workplace?
Working in a public performance venue, I've always been aware of the public's access to my workplace. Not to mention growing up in the era of 9/11, I try to stay aware of my surroundings and check the exits when outside of my home. Recent upticks in mass shootings and aggressive public behavior definitely has necessitated conversations at work about exit routes and safety plans. My name's Max, and I'm calling from Stoughton, Massachusetts.
Hi, this is Layla from Greenville, South Carolina. I work for the government in a social services capacity, and we have had bomb threats, threats of mass shootings, and violent irate clients. We have had glass windows added at interview stations to separate us from clients, but we still don't have metal detectors in, so I don't feel as safe as I should.
My name is Andy. I'm from Louisville, Kentucky. I'm a horticultural specialist. I travel to people's houses all over our city and area, and it would be almost impossible to secure any area that I work in. Although I handle myself pretty well, after over 30 years of this, my biggest injuries have come from hornets and dogs, hornets being the worst by far.
I work for an agritourism farm that sees dozens of thousands of guests per year. Every year, our supervisory team and our management team are trained on how to handle active shooter situations because we are what is considered a soft target. I always feel prepared in the event of an emergency, but at the same time, it fills me with a fear as well as some constant anxiety on busy days that something might happen. I'm suspicious of many people that visit, but also try to keep a very positive outlook that in the event that anything did happen, we would be prepared. My name is Maggie, and I am from Chester, New Jersey.
Maggie from New Jersey describing how her work at an agrotourism farm is considered a soft target in America. Lisa Pompei is an associate professor of epidemiology at the University of Texas Health Science Center in Houston. And she says that while workplace violence is common in this country, it's important to classify the shooting at YouTube this week as an extreme case.
Well, I think when a homicide occurs in the workplace or an attempted homicide, especially with gun violence, that isn't typical. So when we talk about workplace violence, that's really at the end of the spectrum with regard to severity. So workplace violence can range from, you know, aggression, incivility, all the way up through physical assault and then homicide. You know, that was a very serious event that occurred, so I wouldn't say that that's typical.
If that was one of the extreme cases, and certainly it is extreme, what then explains the apparent rise in workplace homicides or attempted homicides, that they seem to have gone up significantly in the last couple of years?
Well, it appears through the BLS that the numbers are higher. I can't necessarily comment on the rate if they're really significantly higher. I think that they have increased, and there's more publicity and social media focus on those types of events. So it's hard to say what's increasing that overall. I think there's things that are specific to certain types of workplaces and industries that may foster the increase of that. But to say globally overall, I'm not sure I can give you an answer for that.
Well, let's talk about some of those workplaces and industries that may be more prone to workplace violence, either from employees within or ex-employees or people coming from the outside, which appears to have happened in this case. What are some of those industries that might stand out?
Well, any type of industry where an employee is dealing with a customer from the outside places them at risk. So workers that are in retail, taxi cab drivers, even individuals in healthcare, because they're providing a service to the public from the outside. So those individuals are coming from the outside that organization into the organization. And so, you know, that does increase their, they seem to be at greater risk for workplace violence.
The interface between people at the company or the business and the customer on the outside. In this case, at YouTube, people having their lunch at the office, some of them may have dealt with a customer like Ms. Ogdon, but not face-to-face because it's over the internet. It's a special case.
Right, exactly. But it's my understanding that that person was disgruntled with individuals in the organization, and so they know where those people work, and so that really is a risk of, let's say someone's being targeted. Well, it's easy to find them if you know where they work. You may not know where they live, or you may not know where they're traveling, but you do know where they work. And so this can even be a serious issue for domestic violence. So individuals who are being stalked or abused by a partner, the one common denominator is that you know where they work. And so that can place a work situation or an employer at risk, an institution at risk for individuals coming in from the outside that may not be customer service business, okay? If there's easy access into the building and there's no barriers, that person can just walk in and they know who they're targeting. And so, you know, a lot of times employers, that type of event is, it's so rare that it isn't part of the organization's infrastructure to, let's say, have physical barriers set up or restricted access into the building set up, because it's, they aren't dealing with customers all day long. So it really is, it's a hard thing to prepare for unless it's really you make an overall change to your organization of having restricted access. But then you also have to have policies internally that workers have a method for stepping forward if they're afraid that someone from the outside is targeting them. Then the organization has to step in and help them and protect the rest of their workforce.
That could be a very difficult thing for an employee to bring to management at work, some form of disagreement or chaos in their personal life. They're not going to want to come to work and be seen as disruptive if they say, I have somebody in my personal life who might try to hurt me here.
You're correct. It's very hard to come forward. So they may not want to come forward because they may be afraid it'll compromise their job. It can also be embarrassing. It can also feel like it's something you don't want to tell, that they may think that it's a poor reflection on them, so they don't come forward. But also, I'm not sure that it is common practice for organizations to actually have something in place that allows their workers to come forward. And, you know, this is something that historically I've seen in the occupational health world that I live in, that sometimes employers have kind of, they've tried to put in mechanisms to have workers feel more comfortable about stepping forward, where they partner, let's say human resources partners with their employee assistance program and with employee health. So, you know, a lot of organizations, they'll conduct an annual physical or health check on their workers. That may be an optimal time to ask workers in privacy, confidentially, you know, is everything okay at home? Or are you concerned? Or are you a victim of domestic violence? I mean, sometimes we have to screen for that and allow workers to have a place to come forward and also get the appropriate interventions and support.
It seems like a potentially complicated situation in a lot of businesses, Lisa Pompei. Businesses in general want to stay accessible and open to consumers. You don't want to have barriers for people to do business with you and spend money. And it's easy to imagine an employer even being sympathetic and sensitive to these issues, saying, I don't want to put up walls between my workers and customers.
Exactly. And so a great example of that is in healthcare. And when you walk into a hospital, they want it to look pleasing and presentable and comfortable for patients and their family members. And so there's a lot of things that are aesthetically pleasing. And then they forego, and I'm just speaking in general, some of the walkthroughs that I've done in hospitals, they forego some of the security measures that should be in place to protect workers because, you know, it provides people from the outside to come in and really have easy access into the worker area. where workers may not have an area then to go to protect themselves if they have a patient or a family member that's violent.
So let's end on this particular case at YouTube in California and Nassim Agdam's attack and suicide there, Lisa Pompei. It's so hard to imagine workers on this campus eating their lunch having any sense that their daily work on the back end of YouTube could lead to a violent attack like this. And we don't know the exact physical plant at this place next to the parking garage, but what on its face strikes you might have room for improvement there?
I think where there could be improvement is having that organization take a look at what their internal policies are on workplace violence prevention, if they even have a policy. Okay, what type of physical barriers and security measures do they have in place? You know, do they have a way to check individuals before they come in through the front door? But really also the other thing too for those workers, because this is such an unusual event, is what kind of infrastructure is already in place or should be in place to help workers once that happens? I'm sure that those workers are traumatized and the employer will really need to be able to step in and provide a great deal of emotional support going forward.
Lisa Pompei is Associate Professor of Epidemiology at the University of Texas Health Science Center in Houston. Professor, thank you so much.
Sure. Thanks for having me.